Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. And we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. Yes, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, you're the one true God. You're the one true God. You are the one true God.
Good morning, Aldersgate Church. We're gathered, as always, in the name of Jesus and by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is here to speak to us, to meet us, and to lead us as the church and individually in our walks this week. If you're a guest among us today, we want to offer a word of special welcome to you and let you know how appreciative we are of your presence here, and invite you to complete that communication card in the worship folder that we might follow up with a contact. There is a welcome center just outside the door to the right where you can stop by and be more personally greeted. Our Vacation Bible School ministry begins tomorrow here at Aldersgate. My understanding is we have about close to 250 children signed up. And I know, as one who helps teach a little bit the fifth graders in that VBS week, as of last Thursday, we had 34 fifth graders signed up, which is amazing. By the time usually fifth grade, it's like, I don't want to be in VBS. But 34 fifth graders, last year was 20-some. So if any of you enjoy seeing chaos, and just adults working with 34 fifth graders, that might even be higher. But we're anticipating probably close to 300 children through the week. So the ministry is a great, vibrant opportunity for us to share Christ into households, to get to know people, and for them to see that, hey, Christians aren't judgmental, aren't hateful, and aren't arrogant, rude, go down the list. But people that can offer the grace of Christ and the gospel truth in a way that's non-threatening and inviting. So if you'd like to come out and check that out, you're welcome to come in any night. Just sign in the front doors here, and you can tour the building and see what's going on. We also have summer Sunday school underway, and there's still volunteer opportunities for that we lift up for your consideration. Last week, we had 25 youth confirmed professing Jesus at the 11 o'clock service. We have two yet to go upon their return to Pennsylvania from being out of state. So we have much to rejoice in the midst of the world's challenges. As we move into summer, God is alive. God is present here. And today we honor graduates. We celebrate those that have completed a season of education and are moving to the next pathway God has for them. Won't you rise as Abel and share the peace of Jesus one with another as we prepare to worship? Thank you.
Let's make our way back to our seats. So today, a lot of the music deals with the wonder and the mystery of God. And so the first song that we're going to sing this morning is God of Wonders. Church, would you just read that scripture with us, please? Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? He is not only the God of our earth, but He is the God of the entire universe. You're going to sing this time, Alan?
Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high.
God of wonders.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. You are holy.
Church. Father God, you are of the holy. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the Milky Way, of all the galaxies, the creator of the universe. And it's just unfathomable to us that you could want to have a personal relationship with each one of us, your children. But we know that you do. We read that in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use the music this morning and the prayers and all that is done to draw us near to you. Help us to use the words of the songs to speak to you in maybe a way that we couldn't do on our own. But as we come together in the body of Christ and lift our voices together, I just pray that you'll be pleased with the worship that we offer to you on this day. For the wonder of who you are and for the many wonders that you do. And for the many wonders that you continue to do as you are way ahead of us in this life, as a good friend tells me all the time. No matter what it is that we walk into, you're there waiting to catch us. Father God, just open up our hearts to know your presence this morning as we worship you. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you as your children. It's in your name that we pray all these things. Amen. So for each one of us, I think that God is all the time calling us to move into some new thing. And no matter what it is, we're oftentimes very afraid of what it is that's on the other side. He calls us to walk out, step out upon the waters, just like Peter. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. He calls us to step out. And so I just pray that with this song, Oceans Where Feet May Fail, that each one of us thinks about what that thing is for us, what it is that God is calling us to, and that that we'll have the assuredness of knowing that he's there for us when we step out, that we'll be able to do that.
Keep my rise above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are
we move into a time of prayer this morning. There is one prayer shawl that is up here on the kneeler this morning, and that's for Maria, a young mother with significant health issues. So the kneelers are open. Please come up and pray over that, or if you just want to come kneel at the cross, please feel free to do that too. The blue cards are in the back of the pews if anybody has a prayer concern or a joy that they would like to write on that card and bring it up and place it on the altar. You're welcome to do that.
There was one. Yeah.
Father, our song speaks a praise of you being our only perfect parent who guides us through the depths of life, that you're there with us in the midst of the shadows, the stillness and the isolation of life, and you certainly are there in the midst of the mountaintop joys. Your faithfulness is unending, and we worship because you loved us first. We can say yes to Jesus because you offered Jesus to us. We can participate in the Holy Spirit because you've already poured that Spirit out and it's right here among us. So as we worship today, Lord, help us to understand that this gathering, each of us coming from our different places and experiences this week, each of us with an array of life issues, whether they're relational, family-wise, work-wise, health, emotional, mental well-being, whatever it is, Lord, that you know us fully. You know all our hearts. There's no desire or secret hidden from you. So let this place, Lord, be your workbench, the altar of your creative work in and on us, that other people might continue to see, begin to see, or see radical change in us as we minister in the world this week. We pray, dear God, a prayer of thanksgiving for our graduates, continuing praise for the Confirmation Journey youth that profess Christ, for the VBS opportunity this week. We thank you for the dozens and dozens of volunteers that are offering their time and investing and risking beyond their own comfort levels. Lord, what a witness you give us through them. May they be seasoned in your love, radical in their hospitality, and the aroma that they carry, may it be of Christ and his mercy, his invitation, the safety by which Jesus welcomes all who would approach him. Lord, we pray this day for the persecuted church in so many parts of the world. We pray that your holiness and your righteous protection would be with them and that you would come against their enemies. Lord, in praying for them, we not only seek to have their reality pierce the comfort of our situation, but also to give us perspective of the very little sacrifices we make daily. Embolden us in our workplace, encourage us in our family to speak justice and mercy and truth. Help us to know this week, wherever we are, there we are, with the Holy Spirit seeking to comfort us and advise us and counsel us and use us in the precious name of Jesus. By his victory we gather, and by his power and mercy we are bold to pray. Amen. this offer for the ministries of Christ here and beyond God's tithes and our offerings. Turn to that blue insert, the graduate insert, as Cheryl Bear, our Director of Student Ministries, comes forward for these moments of celebration and blessing.
Hey, good morning, church. Today we have the special privilege and honor to recognize the graduates among us. If I could invite those that are here to come forward. I'm not sure I see any. Oh, Liza. And at 8 o'clock, we had the privilege of recognizing Nate and Katie Hoover. Nate Kerwin has been using his gifts to if you wouldn't mind staying, that'd be great. Using his gifts behind the drums this morning. They each have amazing stories, and I hope you both know this is your home church, and we will always be praying for you and your source of strength and support and the power behind, well, along with God, that you know that your church family will be praying for you and wishing the best in all your endeavors. And if you'd each wouldn't mind sharing, again, your names and your future plans.
I'm Nate, and I just graduated from Boston University with a master's, and now I'm going to be a consultant at a small consulting firm here in Mechanicsburg.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Liza. I just graduated from Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine with a doctorate in osteopathic medicine, and I'm going to George Washington University for a psychiatry residency.
Amazing. Great. Well, okay. Amazing what God is doing in and through each of them. And we thank you and support you, of course, with our prayers. And each of us now has at least your parents' address. When you get, in your next... You know, where your journey takes you when you get an address, if you'd please update us so that we can send you notes of encouragement and support throughout your journey. And we are just excited to see that all that God will continue to do in and through your lives. And the congregation has a gift for you. You have your choice, Liza, of a Starbucks or Dairy Queen gift card. I'll bring it over to you if you let me know which you'd... This should treat you to a few trips on us, and congratulations.
I'll go with Starbucks. Thank you. You made the other one. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and best wishes. Oh, now I do have to ask you to come back.
Nate, after the next 11 o'clock service, when we finish the music set, you can slip out that back door and avoid all this, okay? You have my permission.
I'll have this down by 11. If you just bow in a spirit of prayer and just... reflect as the congregation prays over you, this unison prayer. If you join me, please.
We have heard from a number of our graduates this week that they're away out of town, but we'll be sure to follow up with contacts with them. And again, at the 11 o'clock service, we'll be lifting those names up as well. Our scripture today is a very familiar passage, and I've titled the message, "Don't Be Afraid to Live and Learn with Your Maker." Living and learning. Learning with God is a lifelong challenge and opportunity and invitation that I think too often we in the Christian faith become truncated from. We figure we know what we need to know, and that's it. And that type of stance limits our witness for the world. I'd like to read just the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, and then if and as we have time here in our remaining moments, have us read the larger passage together after I offer a bit of the proclamation. You're very familiar with it. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. A wind from God swept over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, as we hear these familiar words and as we return to them momentarily, open our ears, unstop our the things that clog our minds up just to hear your good word, your proclamation through Jesus, and your power and grace as our Creator. Meet us in these moments and free us for joyful learning, for life obedience, and for witness that makes practical difference in our everyday, ordinary lives. Amen. Humans have always been curious about the origins of the universe. We want to know where it came from and how it happened. A lot of people use Genesis as a debate or a justification for all that. And I think when we do that, we miss the important point of Genesis, which is who created and for what purpose? Goodness. The Enlightenment era, or Age of Enlightenment, the Age of Reason, began to rely on increasing technology and science and intellect, knowledge. And in the midst of that, some people on both spectrums, the faith side as well as the science and the knowledge side, began to see that religion and faith were total opposites and needed to be at war and hostile with one another. Unfortunately, the church through the ages too often has participated in that warfare, as opposed to seeing science and intellect and knowledge and searching as a natural gift and outgrowth of who God created us to be. We're people with intellect, curiosity. We're people that can be awed by things grander than us and outside of us, and especially God's world. Reason, science, are not opposite faith. In Christian worship, you should not be required to check your brains at the door. Or as a Christian, you should not be required to check your faith at the door as you speak of academics or ideas. And too often, in too many contexts, the church has started to say you need to check your brain at the door and receive all this and don't question it. Or our kids are trained, you can't have faith and be in this classroom because we've already proven that wrong. Some scientists struggle to hold their faith in tension with the evidence of the great fossil and geologic discoveries. But there are many scientists and many physicians. And Liza, I suspect God will use you mightily as someone who knows hope is alive and that resurrection can be real in relationship. Will use you in the field of mental health in powerful ways. God bless you and what God's calling is for you. Faith and reason need not be at war. Genesis is not a scientific textbook. It was never intended that way. Genesis is the story of God creating us and of who we are, who God is, and what our purpose is. It's a functional understanding. It's been over 350 years ago that Galileo Galilei was imprisoned by the church because in using a telescope used by Polish astronomer Copernicus, he saw the stars and the planets, and he saw empirical evidence that the moons of Venus and Jupiter circled, and the different phases of Venus, that Venus was at different places in the night sky, and he began to realize the truth that all of us accept, which is the sun is the center of our solar system, and the planets revolve around that sun. Now, that might not seem like radical news to you and me, but it was to the church, which saw science and discovery as a threat. So they immediately locked up Galileo Galilei, and for the last 8 years of his life, after they forced him to denounce that empirical evidence, he lived under house arrest. About 25 years ago, Pope John Paul II issued a pardon, so to speak, for Galileo. A pardon for an indictment that never should have occurred. Galileo was gifted intellectually by his God. He was given a scientific mind and wonder. And Galileo himself probably could have penned that song we sang, God of wonder, beyond our galaxies, you are holy. Because that knowledge and that desire to learn about God, it increased his mystery of an appreciation for God. The post-Enlightenment categories of everything has to be true or false, black or white, science or myth, they are of human construct, and truth transcends those things. All you have to do is look at the Gospels of Jesus, and even before the Enlightenment, the religious folk trying to cause some trouble, we're doing that with Jesus. Right or wrong, black or white. Work on the Sabbath. Pluck grain on the Sabbath. Help an animal that's fallen in the ditch on the Sabbath. And Jesus had this wonderful way of just graying things up. Because as we look beyond our own gray mystery of understanding, we see the powerful color of God's creation. It's the who of God Genesis is talking to, and we're going to look at that in a moment, in the how and the purpose of our existence. To get to the heart of the matter, we must suspend this black and white, right and wrong idea that Genesis is a scientific textbook. After all, light, night and day is at the beginning of the passage I read, but guess when the moon and the stars and the sun are created? Day 4 or 5. We didn't even get to that yet. You see, when we seek to represent faith in ways like that, we get into an argument that just doesn't make sense. We can say, well, it doesn't need to make sense because God's God. He can do whatever he wants. But we're actually excusing ourselves from what the real purpose of Genesis is. It's to teach people who like to argue over black and white, right and wrong, about us being right. It's to teach us what our function is, what our purpose is, and who God is. God took what was chaos, formless void, and he brought order. How we as humans are to function is part of what this beautiful passage is about, and we're to delight in knowledge buddy of mine, a good friend, and he's my family doctor for probably 25, 30 years. Jim Blacksmith just recently retired. Jim is a brilliant man. He also loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind. And he's not afraid to tell you that. And I talk with Jim as well as other friends and acquaintances I've had over the years that have pursued medicine or science or philosophies, who still are people of faith. And I ask them, how do you answer those people that want to take science and knowledge and war against faith and say nothing to it? I mean, the other side. We got the faith side saying, yeah, I can't believe that stuff. This is what real truth is. And then you have them dismissing the gospel story. He chuckled. He said, Troy, every time there's been an advancement, a scientific discovery, every time we've learned something new, and we're marveling and amazing at what we learn. Wow, look at this. He said, it's not too long in our own joy and self-celebration. We lift our heads and it's like, oh my goodness. Now we discovered this. We realize there's a whole nother boatload of stuff there that we don't even know what the deal is. It's a story of the exploration of the galaxy. How many of you have been to the doctor in the last year for a flu condition or cold, bronchitis, upper respiratory? How many of you had leeches put on your body and were bled? You see, science is ever moving. It's what we know, how we know it right now, how we know it. I'm sure if we asked Liza to come up here and convene a little session for we lay people when it comes to psychiatry and mental health, there are practices in psychiatry that were probably used 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago that you'd be like, oh my goodness, don't even want to go near that. Science is the human attempt that's in our spirit. God's formed us to know God, to seek God, to discover God. We should not, as a church, ever suppress that innate yearning in us. We should be encouraging it. Because when we encourage it, people see that faith isn't looking down its nose at that which we think is going to threaten us. God doesn't need us to protect them. God is God. We think we make babies. We participate in the miracle of that God alone did and can do. Purposeful creation. As you read this passage with me in a moment, I want to point a couple things out and invite your ears to be open to. This Genesis account is telling us our life purpose is to live it to God's glory, to make it an offering to God, and to not be afraid of learning. Because when we pick something up, when life knocks us down, when we pick something up, when we're celebrating, God is equipping us all the more for our next season of interaction. During the first day, God creates light. Science tells us light is actually an object. God calls it day. God is not merely creating light, He's rather creating the function of time. Day two, God separates the waters and creates the function of weather, time and weather. The third day, God creates vegetation in order to provide food, time, weather, food. Will you humor me and say those three things? Time, weather, food. What do you spend more time talking about than time, weather, and food? Seriously. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? How are we going to pay for it? What time is it? How late am I? Do I have time to do this? I don't have time. What's the weather like? We do it in small talk. We do it looking to see what it is. Time, weather, and food. Hear the good news of the gospel, church. This book was not meant to be a scientific textbook for us to spend our days arguing and fighting. It was for us to realize who God is, who we are, and our function, so that others can taste and see the goodness of our God. Not for us to be divisive and arguing. In other words, God begins by creating the functions so that we might know what our function is. The fourth and fifth day, God installs functionaries like the sun and the moon and says, be fruitful and multiply to creation, and then gives us dominion over it. We are created for a purposeful function. We're not merely cosmic dust. We're beloved by God. The earth is not a happy accident. It's the dwelling place of God's people. We're not merely animals. We are people made in God's image who think and question and hope and love. Ignorance really isn't bliss. Faith and science are not enemies. The mystery of God wants to embrace us, that it enlarges us. Legalism is a direct threat to relationship in Jesus Christ. A 2011 report by the Barna Group indicated that 3 of 10 young adults with Christian background feel the church is out of step with the scientific discoveries of the world. 3 of 10 young adults feel the church is out of step. Another 1/4 embrace the perception that Christianity is anti-science. Others might add anti-knowledge. We continue to learn and discover things because human beings have this innate need to discover the reality of life and the power and the who of our Creator. The great mistake that atheists make is to claim that religion started out as a clumsy stab at science. That's what a lot of atheists think. It was just the human beings' clumsy stab to figure out how God did it all. We're called to be a church that takes our everyday, ordinary life, our sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Doing what God has done for you is the best thing you can do for God, Paul says. Our role, church, until our dying day, until our last breath, is to live in the functionality by which God meant for us to live. That our time comes from God. Our sustenance comes from God. The weather, the universe, this beautiful world comes from God, and God's gifted us the opportunity to have dominion over it and to grow in life and learning, that others might see the joy that we have, because our God is not anti-intellectual. He's given us the gift of mind. He is not anti-relational. He's given us the very opportunity to relate. He's given us such a time as this to be His people. I invite you to hear Genesis and to speak it in all its glory and to be open to its functionality and how that frees us for a life of learning. You can turn in the Bible that's in the pew, or I believe Rick has the scriptures up here, and we're going to begin with verse 6. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. I'm not sure if we're there yet, but when we get to here, join in. God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome. from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Are we not there yet? I'm not hearing you then. Is it a little different? Go to your Bibles. Yeah, go to your Bibles. This is God's written word. It's too good not to be on the same page with this. Genesis, the very first book in Scripture. And now we're up at verse 9. Genesis 1, verse 9. Again, let this be an offering to our God as He speaks our creative functionality and purpose to us. Verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves of every kind, and with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Let's go to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. He rested on the seventh day from all the work He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work He had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. You ever tell a family story? And you say, "And these were our generations?" That was our story. Do you hear the good news of our great God? This is relational, about who God is, about who we are, and how we are to have this purposeful function as God's people in the world. We celebrate our graduates. We pray that God would bless them wherever God takes them, that wherever they are, they know they aren't away from God, for the Holy Spirit's with them, and that through their intellectual and heart gifts, God helps others to see that followers of Jesus are yearning to live and learn with the Creator. Would you join me in prayer?